Hello, and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Rabbi Schweiger discusses the holiday of Shavuot. Rabbi Schweiger has written a handout for the podcast. It's attached as the next file in the podcast series. The attachment has two sections. You'll see the first part is a letter from Rabbi Schweiger to you, inviting you to join him at the summer programs this year in Jerusalem. And then the last part of the attachment is the handout for this week's podcast. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty member of Pardes and serves as the Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Schweiger.
This week, we will be celebrating the festival of Shavuot, the festival commemorating the giving of the Torah to the Jews at Sinai. In fact, our celebration is much more the receiving of the Torah rather than the giving. And this is reflected in an age-long custom of staying up the whole night of Shavuot and studying Torah. Today's podcast is devoted to examining engaging Torah, engaging the study of Torah. What does that mean? There is an attachment. I would strongly suggest that you print it out, or if you have a computer, follow along on your computer as I go through the sources, adding my commentary. Source number one, a Mishnah from Masechet Avot, chapter 4, Mishnah 14. Rabbi Nahorai said, "Exile yourself to a place of Torah. Do not say that it will follow you, that your friends will sustain it in your hand, and do not rely on your insight." Rabbi Ovadia of Bar Tanura, generally known simply as the Bar Tanura, the classic medieval commentary on the Mishnah, one could say the Rashi of the Mishnah, explains this Mishnah as follows. Exile yourself. What does that mean? If there are no scholars in your area, do not say that it will follow you. That means that scholars will come here. That your friends will sustain you. Your friends will sustain it. Don't rely on your friends, who when they come from the helm of the rabbi, will uphold the Torah in your hands. Namely, that you will learn from them all that they have learned from the rabbi. But you should exile yourself to the place of the rabbi, since there is no comparison between hearing something from the student to hearing it from the teacher. I am stopping in the middle of the Bar Tanura's commentary. What is he saying? This Mishnah is referring to someone who is in a place where there is no Torah, who says that I can stay where I am, Torah will come to me. And the Mishnah is in effect saying, don't assume that. Don't wait for the Torah to come to you. It may never get there. Don't say, but there are all kinds of ways in which it can reach me. I have friends who have been studying in other places who will come back and share all the insights which they received. Says the Mishnah, but there's no comparison between hearing it from the student versus hearing it from the teacher. No comparison between getting it secondhand versus firsthand. As we all know, the imitation is not the same as the original, genuine product. And I would like to add, even in a case where you can hear it from the teacher, there is no comparison between hearing something on tape and seeing it on television, between seeing it on television and experiencing it live, between hearing a class and being able afterwards to engage the person in discussion. The Bar Tanura brings up an alternative explanation that your friends will sustain it. And he says, why am I telling you to exile yourself to a place of Torah? Because your friends will sustain it in your hand. even if you are very sharp and analytical, the Torah will not be sustained by you alone. Rather, through your friends, the give and take between you and them. And therefore it concludes and says, do not rely on your insight. In a number of places, the Talmud praises those who have study partners, who learn in a chavruta. No matter how smart someone is, no matter how analytical, there is a limit to the different perspectives which they bring to the text. The more people that you have, the more people that you give and take with, the more perspectives you have, where each perspective has some element of truth, so that the whole can be a mosaic incorporating the many different perspectives. So that the Mishnah in effect is saying, don't try to study Torah by yourself. Find a chavruta. Find a class. Find many people who you can interact with, who in the end will give you a variety of perspectives and hence help you discover the multiple layers of the text. The Tiferet Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz, who lived in the 1800s, is another classic commentary on the Mishnah. There are two parts to his commentary. The Yachin, which is the running commentary on the Mishnah, and the Boaz, where he takes certain points and explores them in greater depth. Yachin in Boaz were the two pillars at the entrance to the temple, as if this commentary will help you enter the door of the Mishnah. The Tiferet Yisrael has a different take on this Mishnah. And he says, this Mishnah is a direct admonition for one who is beginning to study. Since it did not state, exile yourself to study Torah, we can infer that this is what it means to say. Even if it is possible for you to study Torah in your area, exile yourself to another place of Torah. That is to say, when you will be in another city without supervision, don't say the Torah will follow you and pursue you without any effort on your part. On the contrary, your friends at home are the ones who sustain it in your hand. For they push you every day and moment. But the intent in advising you to go to another city is that you yourself should pursue Torah. In certain ways, the Tiferet Yisrael is the inverse of the Bar Tanura. He sees this Mishnah as referring to someone who lives in a place where there is Torah. In fact, he lives in a place where the people around him are all engaged in studying Torah. Not only are they engaged, but they are constantly on his back, pushing him every moment to study. And despite that, the Mishnah is saying, go somewhere else. Why? Because you need to study Torah so that it becomes your Torah. You need to motivate yourself. You can't rely on others to motivate you. You need to push yourself. You need to show, to demonstrate that you really care about Torah and are not just doing it because that's what's done in your social framework. And so the Tiferet Yisrael elaborates in his commentary, Boaz. The term exile means that one should leave one's father and mother, one's family, and all of one's creature comforts, and go to a place where all of these will be absent. Although this separation is difficult, like separating a baby from its mother's breasts, it is for one's good, for it is essential to one's success. Just as grass does not succeed to grow in the place where it is initially planted, but is replanted somewhere else by the gardener, so too does a person not succeed and progress, whether in personality development, Torah study, self-image, except in a place which is not one's birthplace. And this is for three reasons. Reason number one. Although one rejoiced in many childhood experiences and friends when young, it is imperative to leave them if one desires to climb the ladder of education. And out of habit, one will not leave them while still at home. Two, at home, one will always remain a child. When one is living in the midst of the family, intoxicated by the love and caring of the surroundings, one can easily forget the goal of taking charge of one's life and becoming an adult. Three, it is well known that one will make more of an effort to do good out of choice rather than coercion by others. When one is still at home, the person's rational faculties will not push them to take control of one's life and soar to the heights, knowing that one's parents control them. But when one sees that they are on their own, that no one will push them to do their job, if one has sense, they will open their eyes, be diligent in their work, bear the golden yoke to succeed through their own efforts. I think that the words of the Tiferet Yisrael are self-explanatory. Why does one need to go into exile? Because that is how one becomes an adult. That is how one becomes independent. You need to take yourself out of the environment in which you're comfortable, to push yourself, to aspire to another level. One could add, this is why God said to Avraham, Lech Lecha, leave your land, your birthplace, your father's house. And I'm sure that the Tiferet Yisrael had this model in mind. Avraham needs to leave his family, his birthplace, to actualize his destiny. Although in Midrashic literature, we are told how Avraham, in the land of his birthplace, comes to an understanding of God, smashes idols, begins to preach monotheism, but his surroundings will always see him as little Abe. In order for him to become the giant that he is, he needs to go somewhere else, to go to a place which is not welcoming, which may be hostile, which is challenging, where he will have to bring out all the powers of his personality to survive, but ultimately to flourish. To go to a place where people will not remember him as the little kid on the block, but will see him as a true spiritual giant. I find these commentaries fascinating because they all see how critical it is for someone to push themselves, to motivate themselves, to not sit back, to not try to pursue the path of least resistance, but to seek out those frameworks that will challenge them, push them, but push them, not coercing them to study, but to push them to push themselves, to maximize their dignity, to maximize all of their abilities. Let us look at reference number two, a passage which concludes Masechet Brachot, the first tractate of the Talmud. Our rabbis have taught, when our teachers entered the vineyard of Yavne, there were among them Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nechemiah, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi the Galilean. And they all spoke in honor of their hosts and expounded texts. And we need to understand that the vineyard of Yavne is the yeshiva that was established in Yavne, the seat of the Sanhedrin, after the destruction of the Second Temple. Why is it called the vineyard? because the students would sit in rows before the teacher, as the rows of a vineyard. And if I could add as a homiletic comment, in the same way that a vineyard is meant to produce wine which gladdens the heart, the study going on in this yeshiva is also meant to gladden the heart. As we find in Psalms, Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misamchei Lev, the instructions of God are straight. They cause the heart to rejoice. And this passage goes on. Rabbi Yehuda, the chief speaker on all occasions, spoke in honor of the Torah and expounded the text. The verse says, and Moses took the tent and pitched it outside the camp. Exodus 33:7. Have we not here an a fortiori argument? Seeing that the Ark of the Lord was never more than 12 kilometers distant, and yet the Torah says everyone that sought out God went out to the tent of meeting. How much more is this title applicable to the students, scholars, who go from city to city, province to province, to learn Torah? This comment of Rabbi Yehuda clearly echoes the Mishnah we just did in Pirkei Avot. The idea that one who wants to learn Torah has to seek it out. Seeking it out means going from place to place, province to province, wherever it is to be found. Don't just go to one place, go to a number of places. Every place enriches you. Rabbi Yehuda further spoke in honor of the Torah, expounding the text. And here the Hebrew word is hasket, which I have translated as hark. Hark and hear, O Israel. This day you have become a people before the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 27:9. Was it on that day that the Torah was given to Israel? Was not that day at the end of the 40 years of wandering? It is, however, coming to teach that the Torah should be beloved every day to those that study it as on the day that it was given at Mount Sinai. This verse, or the comment on this verse, this day you have become a people. The comment being, but this day you did not become a people. You became a people 40 years earlier. But the verse is saying, every day should be like the day you became a people. Every day that you study Torah should be as the day it was given at Sinai. Every day you should have the same enthusiasm as the very first day you began studying. How does one keep Torah novel, exciting, dynamic? How does one study the same material again and again and not get bored, not feel that it is repetitive? I sometimes say tongue-in-cheek in some of my classes that my students have no problem fulfilling this injunction because they have a tendency of wandering off, dozing off, so that every day it's as if they heard it for the first time. But that's not the meaning of this. The meaning of this is, if one sees Torah as being the Word of God, as having many layers of understanding, one can never say, I got it. Yes, it's true. You may have gotten one level of understanding, but there are so many other levels to peel off. That is why there is an excitement, or should be an excitement, every time one studies. Because every time you study, there should be some new point, some new insight, which adds to your understanding of the text. If one studies commentaries, every commentary presents some food for thought, which makes it exciting, which makes it fresh. Sometimes people ask me, isn't it boring teaching the same material year in, year out? Even when I do teach the same material, it's never boring, because the students are not the same students. And every time the material is taught, the way that it's received, the give and take is different, which makes it so exciting, which makes it so fresh. The Gemara goes on to expand on the meaning of the word hasket. Hasket, which is a very unusual word, which does not appear anywhere else in the Tanakh. The word hasket implies, make yourselves into groups, kitot, to study the Torah, since knowledge of the Torah can be acquired only in association with others. As stated by Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, for Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina said, what is the meaning of the text? A sword upon the boasters, badim, and they shall become fools. A sword is upon, and here it's the enemies of the scholars, which is really a euphemism for scholars. So therefore it should be read, a sword is upon the scholars who sit separately, bad bad, and study Torah. What is more, they become stupid, as it is written, and they become fools. Once again, this explanation echoes what we saw earlier in the Bar Tanura. How important it is for one to study with others. And let me highlight this point, especially since I am very often guilty of this. One could say, why should I learn with other people? What do they really have to add? The tendency to not learn with others is coming from a place of hubris, of arrogance. For Torah to be truly studied, it must be coming from a place of humility. Humility before God, but also humility before the people around you. When one studies Torah, one should not be sitting in judgment on Torah, giving God checks or minuses. That was good, God. Nice idea. You're not judging God. You are trying to scratch the surface of the depths of what God has to offer you. And by the same token, one can learn from anyone, from everyone, and therefore one needs to make a concerted effort to share their ideas with others, to have a give and take, to get feedback. The more feedback one gets, the more it sharpens their words, crystallizes the ideas. This is why in Pirkei Avot, we have the famous statement which says, I learned much Torah from my teachers, more from my colleagues, even more from my students. From everyone, it is possible to learn. But more so, when there are others around, it forces me to be clear, to crystallize my views, with a give and take, to perhaps shift, modify, and through that process, to come to a better understanding of truth. Another explanation of hasket, cut yourself to pieces. Lechatek means to smash. For words of Torah, as Reish Lakish said, from where do we know that words of Torah are sustained by one who kills himself for them? Because it is written, this is the Torah when a man shall die in a tent, Numbers 19:14. Receiving the Torah, acquiring the Torah, means pushing yourself very hard, killing yourself, not sitting back with your feet on the table, being entertained, but struggling. As I once heard in the name of a rabbi, a survivor of the Holocaust, who subsequently set up a yeshiva in Jerusalem, Rav Gustman. Rav Gustman had an unbelievable life story, which I won't go into. He was an unbelievable scholar who unfortunately did not have mass circulation, so that only a group of people, a limited group of people, really knew him. His students, his yeshiva, were the creme de la creme, great scholars. Rav Gustman once said to his students, what is the difference between me and you? When you study something and you come to a passage which is perplexing, which is difficult. You try very hard to understand it. But if you don't succeed, you either go on to the next page or close the book and go on to whatever else you want to do. But Rav Gusman said, when I study something, if I don't understand it, I can't eat, I can't sleep, I can't do anything until I get a handle on it. And it's only when I get that insight that I can then go on to something else. Rav Gusman was a very humble individual. His students were great scholars. Many of them, Roshei Yeshiva, heads of yeshivas. And yet he was trying to impress upon them what it means to kill oneself for Torah. How much do we incorporate Torah as being some segment of our lives? Or how much is it at the core? How much is our study something nice, warm and fuzzy? How much do we struggle? How much do we challenge ourselves? Cut yourself to pieces for words of Torah. And the last explanation. Another explanation of Hasket. Be silent, has, and then analyze, cut. As Rava said, one should always first learn Torah and then scrutinize it. Very often I find people who study Torah who don't really understand what they're studying, but immediately have something to say about it. And not only to say about it, but to be critical of, to be judgmental. And what this is saying is, someone who is really engaged by Torah has to listen. Listen very carefully. Open themselves up. After you've heard the Torah, after you've heard commentaries, after you've really tried to understand, and where you really feel you have gotten what those outside of you have to say, then start analyzing. Then start being critical. Then attack. Analyzing is very, very positive. It needs to be constructive, not deconstructive. The purpose of analysis is ultimately to be able to come to a better understanding rather than to just destroy what exists. In order for that to happen, one needs to develop the qualities of being a good listener, to be able to have a fine-tuned ear, to pick up the nuances of the text and of those expounding it. Now let us go on to Maimonides. We won't go through the whole thing. I would just like to take one or two points. First point. With three crowns was Israel crowned, with the crown of Torah, the crown of the priesthood, and the crown of sovereignty, kingship. Aaron merited the crown of the priesthood. Aaron hands down the priesthood to his children forever. David merited the crown of sovereignty, the monarchy. The line is handed down through David. But the crown of the Torah is poised and waiting for all of Israel. The crown of Torah is greater than the other two. The crown of Torah is the crown which I make for myself when I study. Becoming a king, being a priest, may be something that one is born into. If you're a descendant of David, a descendant of Aaron. But Torah is not something that you are born into. It's something that you create for yourself. And that's what makes it so much greater. If I skip to the last reference, or maybe perhaps reference 7, perhaps one will say, after I amass a fortune, I will go and study. After I acquire all that I need and have leisure from my affairs, I will go and study. If such thoughts enter your heart, you will never merit the crown of Torah. But one should make his Torah study fixed and his profession casual, and not say that when I have leisure, I will study. Perhaps you will not have leisure. I would like to end with this point. Many of us have occupations. When we're younger, it's going to university, learning skills, that will enable us to go out into the professional world. Certainly afterwards, we go on into our profession. Unfortunately, very often people become so involved, so engrossed in their professions, they have no time for Torah. Sometimes people have leisure time, but rather than seeing this as an opportunity to study, it can be an opportunity to go shopping, watch TV, go to a movie, shoot the breeze, as they say. All too often, studying Torah can be a marginal part of our lives. It is very easy for someone to become involved in day-to-day activities and somehow put Torah on the side. As the Rambam says, when the opportunity presents itself, I'll do it. But unfortunately, all too often, the opportunity does not present itself. One has to create opportunities. If one sees this as being something critical to their lives, then one will make it happen. It's not easy. It takes a concerted effort, but it is well worth the effort. I would like to end this podcast by saying the following. Please see the letter in the flyer that I have sent you via the podcast. There are many learning opportunities at Pardes in Jerusalem this summer. It would be great if you could join me this summer at Pardes for one of our learning programs. For me, making the podcasts has been something very special. But the one downside of the podcast is that there's no give and take. There's no body language, no visual image. There is a certain lack in the student-teacher dialectic. So I invite you to join me where we can be face-to-face, where we can interact and really have a dialogue. And not only join me, but join many other talented teachers at Pardes. For those of you who will say, when I have the time, I'll come. You may never have the time. Now is the time. Create that time. It could very well be that exiling yourself, coming to Jerusalem, coming to Pardes, may be the most transformative experience of your life, may give you the desire to continue studying, to engage Torah, to internalize it, and hopefully to have Torah be something which every day of your life you will be receiving. Chag Shavuot Sameach.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Your comments on the podcast are always appreciated. Please send your emails to podcast@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next edition of Pardes from Jerusalem.